I'm Betty, and my hair is down. Two reviewers.
I'm Alvin, and my hair is red.
Three reviewers.
I'm Adolf, and my hair is brown.
Four reviewers.
I'm John, and that is all there is.
Five reviewers. That's all. There are five of us. We are the reviewers. There are five reviewers. Blink, blank, flunk.
Yes, here are the reviewers, five clever young people who write and perform their own material, original lyrics, original music. This afternoon, they have the assistance of Irving Miller's orchestra and their guest songsters, Marion Kay and Kenny Gardner. Today, the reviewers join with many others throughout the nation in sending sincere and heartfelt birthday greetings to radio station WSM in Nashville, Tennessee, on the occasion of WSM's 15th anniversary. WSM was born back in the pre-network days when DX fans sat humped for many an hour over a tiny radio set and tickle a bit of crystal with a thing called a cat whisker. Many a wheeze, whine, howl, and crackle would finally clarify into voice, music. It was a broadcast. Today, station WSM looks back over 15 years of uninterrupted service to its listening public, and we say many happy returns and many more years of giving your listeners the finest in radio enjoyment. And now to the reviewers who today devote their satirical talents to, of all things, inventions.
Since all the sciences began, there have been a certain type of man who works in laboratories and deserves a hut. He works with chemicals and fire, with nails and bolts and hunks of wire, while all the people shake their heads and say he's nuts.
He's mad. He's crazy.
He's a dope. But because these brave men never listen to the jeerings of the mob,
and because they stayed home with their work and they stuck right on the job,
they made gadgets and things that we thought were a pretty useless lot.
But they're not, 'cause we've got
electric light and bobby pin and chicken soup wrapped up in tin, the radio, the Mickey Finn, the Murphy bed. We've got synthetic silk.
We've got the malted milk.
There's not much left we haven't got with our invention. With our invention.
Well, well, stand back, men. There it is. It's finished.
What is it, John?
Why, it's a mousetrap, Judy. Isn't it a honey?
No self-respecting mouse would ever be seen in that trap.
Well, it looks okay to me, John, but how does it work?
Oh, if you're going to use a real mouse to demonstrate, I'm leaving.
Oh, no, no, it's all right, Betty. I'll just describe it. Now, you see, it's a small trap with an opening just too small for the mouse to get in. And he tries, but he can't make it. This gets him so furious that he stamps his feet.
Yes, John, go on.
Well, the stamping of his feet causes a revolver to drop from the top of the trap. And by this time, he's so humiliated, he picks up the revolver and blows his brains out.
Oh, I didn't know a mouse had brains.
Even mice, Judy. Jealous?
Ah, brains, brains. It certainly takes a lot of brains to be an inventor.
Why, yes. Now, look at Thomas Edison. They've had to make two movies to tell his story. Let's see, I saw Edison the boy and Edison the man.
And the first of the month, I'm going to see Edison the company.
Well, the electric light is a great invention, but I think the greatest gift to mankind is the automobile.
Oh, my favorite invention is the auto, 'cause I like to drive. Oh, I like to go 100 miles an hour and remain alive. I like to race a train up to a crossing and arrive there first. I laugh and grin and tip my hat, and then the engine knocks me flat. I tear across the land like a typhoon. I guess I ought to get a license soon.
Gee, I didn't know you could drive a car, John. Gosh, my license was taken away from me.
Oh, what for, Adolf?
Oh, too many tickets for parking.
Oh, parking. I got a ticket for parking, too.
What, have you got a car, too?
Oh, no, it was a ticket for parking chewing gum. Now there's an invention you can sink your teeth in. Chewing gum is a great gift to man. Tick. I
chew it whenever I possibly can. Let. I chew and I chew till my teeth feel numb, and sometimes I swallow a piece of gum. There's cinnamon and pepsin too, and peppermint and spearmint and double mint and after dinner mint and the United States mint. Gee, there's a lot of money there. I wish I had some. Will somebody give me $50,000 for Colonial Mansion?
No.
Oh, will someone give me a nickel for a cup of coffee?
No.
Will someone give me a penny for my thoughts?
Not on your life.
You know, you drive a hard bargain, Judy. But here's a penny. What were you thinking about?
Well, I was just thinking, Benny, that I like your hair just the way it is, long and straight.
Oh, you do. Well, the only thing for me to do is to go out and have a permanent wave at once. It's an ordeal, but it's the greatest invention science has given to women since the Iron Maiden. Woman's hair is her crowning glory. If your hair is straight, you must go to the beauty shop. They put your hair into coils of steel. You wave goodbye to your friends, and they turn on the heat. Then they remove the machine. You're bald as an egg.
Maybe a soft-boiled egg. Ah, these modern inventions, they soften you up.
Oh, but Al, think of all the conveniences they've given us.
Why, sure, Al. Remember what John said. Automobiles rushing here and there. Automobiles tearing across the countryside. Why, they're wonderful.
Ah, they still haven't invented an automobile that can neigh like a horse. Inventions make people soft. Take the electric light. Take the electric light. You want 1,000,000 candle power? Get 1,000,000 candles. What could be simpler? Take the automobile. You want 200 horsepower? Get 200 horses. It's simple. Take the Tyrone powers? You do? Well, what's the matter with me?
I'll tell you what's the matter with you, Al. You haven't adjusted yourself to the modern tempo. Things are fast today. Why, the college boys haven't time to say rah, rah, rah. They say rah.
Yes, it's all rush, rush, rush these days.
Yes, and so to get the places on time, we've got the greatest invention of all.
The automobile?
No.
The aeroplane?
No. The alarm clock. I give a cheer when I hear that rasping noise inside my ear. The alarm clock, I love ya. A ring-a-ling at 6 a.m. makes me want to commit mayhem. Alarm clock, I love ya. See, I reach out wildly in the dark to stop that ringing call. But I'm no judge of distances. I shove my fist right through the wall. I smash the glass, I tear the springs, but it's guaranteed it still rings. Alarm clock, you're mine. Just 5 more minutes. Alarm clock, I love ya.
Hello, reviewers.
Oh, hello, Penny.
Say, I heard you talking about these invention things. But, hey, you left out the greatest of all. Radio.
Radio? Oh, have they invented that already?
Of course, Judy. And it's a good thing, too, because now you can listen to Kenny sing.
So you're the one. Well, how do you do? Well, I'm the one who waited for you. I wondered how I'd know you, but my heart said, leave it to me. And here you are, which goes to show how smart a heart can be. So you're the one, well, what do you know? Say, I'm the one who needed you so. I don't know where you came from, but I'm awfully glad that you're here. Just like that, I fell in love, and you're the one, my dear. You're the one, well, what do you know? Say, I'm the one who needed you so. I don't know where you came from, but I'm awfully glad that you're here. And just like that, I fell in love, and you're the one, my dear.
Thank you, Kenny. Say, you know, inventors have invented so many things, I bet someday they'll be able to invent human life.
Someday? Why, John, human beings have been constructed in the laboratory already. Haven't you ever heard of Dr. Frankenstein?
Oh, you mean Frankenstein the monster?
No, Judy. The scientist's name was Frankenstein. The monster's name was Monster.
Oh,
And then there was that little wooden boy, Pinocchio, the one who came to life.
That's right, and then there was Galatea.
Who?
Galatea. Don't you know the story of Pygmalion and Galatea?
Oh, sure. Wendy Hiller meets Leslie Howard.
No, Judy. The original Pygmalion story. You see, he was a sculptor in old Greece, and Galatea was the statue he carved. He fell so much in love with her that she came to life.
Gee, Pinocchio, Galatea, and the monster of Frankenstein.
They only had a fourth. They could play bridge.
We were manufactured, not of bones and skin. We were made of plaster and of wood and nails and tin. Through some kind of magic, learned to breathe and walk. We became alive and we were not brought by the stork.
I was once a hunk of wood, then I began to grow. Then I began to breathe and I became Pinocchio.
A pretty marble statue was what I was meant to be. Then I received the flame of life. My name is Galatea.
Oh, I was manufactured by a guy named Frankenstein. Then I became alive, a pretty monster, 9'9".
Geppetto was a carpenter, and whittled me from out of wood. When he was done, we both agreed that I was pretty good. With wooden arms and wooden legs and wooden feet and wooden face, you'd kiss my wooden cheeks and you'd get splinters in your face. Oh, I can do a lot of things that others cannot do. I can cut my finger off and stick it on with glue. I even went to Hollywood to gain some wealth and fame. I made a little movie there. Pinocchio was the name. I thought 'twould be a good idea to make a picture while I could and cash in on the novelty of a boy that's made of wood. The audiences came and paid high prices for a ticket, but not to see poor wooden me. They cheered for Jiminy Cricket.
I was once Pygmalion statue, made of marble, just a statue, but I looked so lifelike that you wished I was alive. The more Pygmalion saw me, the more he started to adore me. Oh, those Greeks, they had a word for me. Boom, in Athenian jive. Oh, his love was so strong that before very long it had melted the marble and brought me to life. Oh, I stepped with a thrill from that high pedestal, and I then settled down as Pygmalion's wife. We were married, but what a life. When you say perfect lovers, you don't mean them. We fight so much. Last night you should have seen him. He said he should have married a statue of Venus. 'Cause when they have a fight and she's in the right, she can't hit him back. She has no arms.
In storm and lightning I was born. I steal upon you in the dark. I drown little children in the park. Cross my path and you'll meet a grisly fate. I clump along, I weigh a ton. When you see me, you'd better run. Once I've grabbed you, then it will be too late. Gee, you think I enjoy this? This ain't no fun. I want to be popular. Frankenstein did this to me. I wonder where he got my recipe. Through my neck an iron rivet. One side of the face very livid. The other side is even paler. In short, I ain't no Robert Taylor. Hands and feet from here and there. One old cedar mop for hair. Part of Boris Karloff's face.
hem-stitched seams all over the place, 10 feet high of protoplasm, a brain that is a yawning chasm, odds and ends of old debris. Frankenstein, what have you done to me? Separately, each ingredient might have been part of a pleasant gent, but put them all together, it spells monster.
A name that is most horrible to me, I really mean it. A name that is most horrible to me. Good night, gentlemen. A name that is most horrible to me.
We are three, what is it? Neither fish nor fowl. We have a complaint and this is our night to howl. We were brought into the world and say it isn't fair. The world's all right for a visit, but we wouldn't want to live there.
Well, speaking of inventions, who invented the cotton gin?
I'll answer that.
Oh, I step right up. Oh, it isn't a stranger at all. It's Bill Slater, ladies and gentlemen, the man who knows all the answers. He's Uncle Jim of Uncle Jim's Question Bait.
Thank you very much, reviewers.
Say, Uncle Jim, we'd all like to wish you lots of luck on your new program. When does it start?
Why, it starts this coming Tuesday night. There's one little thing about that program I think you'll like a lot. The three big ideas in our program are fun, facts, and folding money. You see, before a single question is asked, we give a contestant a certain sum of money. The fun comes in seeing whether the contestant has enough facts to make that money grow into real folding money or whether the money shrinks. But they got a lot of money. You know, Uncle Jim is pretty spry about giving away his money.
Oh, Uncle Jim. Thank you, Uncle Jim. And you can be sure that we'll be listening when Uncle Jim's Question Bee goes on the air. And now our beautiful guest singer, Marion Kay, will sing May I Never Love Again.
May I never see the sun go down. May I never feel the falling rain. If the love that I declare isn't all that's right and fair, may I never love again. May I never see the blue of the sky, nor the moon and stars down Lover's Lane. May I never live a day if I don't mean what I say. May I never love again. Sweetheart, when I'm with you, I'm not a foolish pretender. Sweetheart, if you love me too, all I possess may I never feel your tender lips. May you never take my love in vain. You're the answer to my prayer. But if your love isn't there, may I never, no, I'll never love again.
Thank you, Marion.
So, you know, being an inventor is a pretty thankless job. People never believe in you.
Oh, that's true. You know, when Robert Fulton invented the steamboat, people called it Fulton's Folly.
Yeah, and when Ziegfeld brought in a musical show, they called it Ziegfeld's Folly.
Yeah. When President Roosevelt appointed the Postmaster General, they called it James A. Folly.
Yes, inventors certainly do get a bad break.
Why, you know, there are some unknown inventors nobody knows anything about. They're so unknown, they're completely unknown.
Let us doff our hats to just such an unknown inventor.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are all kinds of horns. The automobile horn, the orchestra horn, the swing music horn, and then there is the shoehorn, silent friend of millions of heels.
shoehorn for granted as an everyday device.
What's that, a shoehorn?
How silly. There are millions of them.
But years ago, there were no shoehorns. Our ancestors suffered untold hardships. When people got into their shoes in the morning, scenes like this occurred.
There are your shoes, Brewster, dear. Time to put them on.
No, 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 Esmeralda. No, I can't go through with it. Oh, oh, why did you make me take them off last night?
Oh. Try, dear. You must try.
All right. I'll do it. I'll do it. Oh!
Scenes like this occurred in millions of homes every day. People tried various devices to lessen the pain of getting into their shoes. It was a national problem. At the blacksmith...
Under the spreading chestnut tree, I stand.
Pardon me, but I've been trying to stamp my feet into these shoes all morning, but they won't let me in. Can you put them on for me?
Put your feet in the vise and I'll do my best. Now, think of something pleasant. Now, that didn't hurt much, did it? Did it? Oh. Next.
And the shoes didn't have a good time either. They were beaten and crushed and down at the heel. And then one day, in the corner of a little aluminum hut, a man started thinking. That man was Ambrose Miffy. Miffy was a lonely inventor who never left his hut where he lived with his faithful wife. Ambrose Miffy thought about shoes and asked himself, why?
Why?
The people's tortured screams rang in his ears. And then one day, he walked into his laboratory and said,
I believe humanity should find a way to put shoes on without suffering. I'm not coming out until...
Ambrose, dear, dinner's ready. We're having hash tonight.
I haven't time to have dinner. I'll find this thing if it takes 10 years.
10 years have gone by, Ambrose.
In that case, I don't care if it takes 20 years.
20 years have passed, dear. The hash is getting cold.
His wife believed in him, and every evening patiently and confidently warmed up the waiting hash. But the townspeople, ever suspicious of science, scoffed at him as he walked down the street.
There goes Ambrose Miffy.
What's Miffy up to anyhow?
It's witchcraft, I tell you.
He thinks he can find a way to put shoes on without hair.
He's mad. He's mad. Mad Miffy.
But heedless of the jeers of the mob, Miffy marched on. He worked day and night. 25 years went by. And then, one day...
Now, one more detail, and it'll be finished. Yes, this is it. It's finished. Yuroko!
No, that isn't it.
Ryuko!
No, not that. What the heck is it? Well,
I've got it!
Oh, Ambrose, what are you screaming about?
Darling, I found it at last. I think, look. I think this is it. But just to make sure, you must try the first one.
But just as he said this, there was a knock at the door. The townspeople, angered and suspicious, had come to burn the laboratory and banish Miffy for witchcraft and skullduggery. But they paused at the door, for this is what they saw.
Belinda, darling, you must try the first one. You must do it for science, for progress. Do you have the courage to go through with it?
Yes, Ambrose. For you, I will.
Ambrose noticed the crowd staring darkly at him in the doorway.
This is him!
Look, all you good people. This simple piece of tin will save you from a lifetime of suffering. I call it a shoehorn.
A shoehorn!
Now, I slip it into the heel of my wife's shoe.
Look, he's putting it in the heel of the shoe.
Why, she's slipping the shoe on her foot.
The shoehorn lets her slip the shoe on.
Oh, Ambrose, dear, it goes on so easily. It works.
Hooray for Miffy!
Belinda, what is it?
It hurts. I don't know what, but I'm in pain.
Oh, look, she's in pain.
She's a fake. She's in pain.
I knew it wouldn't work.
Run him out of town.
Mad Miffy.
And so Ambrose Miffy, champion of science, was banished. For years, he and his wife tramped the countryside. And with every step, his wife screamed...
Oh, what did I do that was wrong? What did I do?
5 years passed, and still they trudged. 10 years passed and still... And then one day...
Belinda, my darling, I've got it. I know what's wrong.
Oh, what, dear? What?
Oh, it just came to me in a flash. You see, you not only must use the shoehorn to put the shoe on the foot, but once you've got the shoe on, you must take the shoehorn out.
Rococo! Morocco! Euripides! What the heck is that word? Today, the name of Mippy is revered. There is a shrine in Mippy's hometown, now called Mippyville, where thousands of pilgrims come to do homage. And every evening at dusk, they blow the shoehorn in the village square. The shoehorn is respected and loved as an indispensable article in daily life. Now, all you people who scoffed and laughed at shoehorns before you knew Mippy and his story, what do you think now?
Shoehorn.
Can't see that thing.
Yeah, there are millions of them.
Which just goes to prove, if at first you don't succeed, give up.
Oh, fellas, I know what's wrong with the mousetrap I made.
Oh, what, John? Oh, won't it work, John?
Gee, I don't think so.
Well, why not?
Well, look, when the gun falls down next to him, the mouse will run away.
Because of the noise?
No, because all mice are afraid of gats.
No!
You've been listening to The Reviewers, Betty Comden, Judith Tuvin, Adolph Green, John Frank, and Alvin Hammer. Clever young people who write and perform their own material. The Reviewers come to you as a program of the National Broadcasting Company.